Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This week, Pardes is bringing Tu Bishvat to you. Let's dive in.
This is Rabbi Daniel Silverstein coming to you from Beit Zayit, just outside Jerusalem. Welcome to this special series of podcasts for Pardes on Tu Bishvat, the new year for trees. And in this series, we're going to be exploring various aspects of this month and especially of the special day Tu Bishvat, such as the astrology of the month and how that is portrayed in Kabbalah and how that relates to our spiritual work of the month, the date of Tu Bishvat itself and how the Talmudic argument about that also relates to our spiritual work at this time, and the significance of Tu Bishvat in the cycle of life we find ourselves within, both in the natural world and in our spiritual work, and also the importance of eating consciously or mindfully this month that is central to Tu Bishvat itself and that our earliest Kabbalistic texts draw our attention to. Those are some of the themes we'll look at in all the podcasts. For now, I'd like to introduce our guide for most of our exploration of these themes is going to be the B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar is Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. He lived 1783 to 1841, and he was a student of Reb Elimelech of Lezhansk, who was one of the founders of Chassidut in Poland, and also a student of the Chozer of Lublin, the Seer of Lublin, another great Polish Hasidic master. And Rav Tzvi Elimelech wrote a book, the B'nai Yisachar, that he's named after, that is very unusual and very special because it's a book that, after some introduction about themes such as Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, the new month, it is actually structured around the calendar with roughly one chapter per month, or sometimes combining months together. And he goes in great depth and detail into many different teachings related to each month and the special days of each month and the spiritual opportunities and challenges of each month based on tradition, plus with a lot of his own insights. And so it's just a wonderful resource for the spiritual practice of living in tune with the many layers of that cycle of time that are going on around us in Jewish time. What's going on in the natural world, what's going on in the agricultural cycles, what's going on in the biblical narrative, what's going on in the story of Jewish history down through the generations. He really includes a lot of all of those different layers. So let's dive in. We're going to learn some of the B'nai Yisachar on Shavuot and how it relates to those themes I mentioned earlier and what that means for our spiritual work, for our own lives. And I'm going to start with the second paragraph from his chapter on Shavuot, where he does something that he does at the beginning of most of his chapters, which is he cites the Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation or formation. The Sefer Yetzirah is our oldest extant work of Jewish mysticism. Our tradition actually traces it all the way back to Abraham. Other traditions trace it to Rabbi Akiva, and scholars see it as originating at least in the early Talmudic era. And it says something very interesting about each month, which is that each month has a letter associated with it, and also a human faculty or activity, and also a constellation, and finally also a part of the body. Now, the B'nai Yisachar begins by quoting most of the passage concerning Shavuot from the Sefer Yetzirah, which tells us that the letter for the month is the tzaddik, and that the faculty of the month is taste or swallowing, so eating in other words, and that the constellation for the month is Aquarius, and that the body part for the month is the korkaban, which the Zohar identifies as the stomach, which obviously relates to the faculty of tasting, swallowing, or eating. Now, in my introduction, when I mentioned astrology, and just now when I mentioned the constellation of the month Aquarius, I wonder if your ears pricked up. I wonder if you thought, oh, interesting, you know, I wonder where this classic Hasidic text stands on that issue. That is quite controversial in our tradition. It's well known, for example, that Maimonides, Rambam, is very scornful in his dismissal of astrology and of anyone who takes it seriously. And yet, we find many, many great rabbis, sages, commentators down through the ages, before, during, and after Rambam's life, who do take it very seriously and who ascribe power and significance to the movement of the spheres and their possible effect on human composition and human behavior. And actually, we find this argument, particularly about Israel, about the Jewish people, in the Talmud, in the tractate Shabbat on page 156a, we find an argument between the sages as to the effect of the constellations, the stars, the heavenly bodies on us. And we find the idea there that the B'nai Yisachar goes into, that there is no constellation for Israel. Ein mazal li Israel. There's no heavenly body or configuration of heavenly bodies which has any meaningful effect on us. And the famous example is given here. It's often cited, for example, by our great commentator Rashi, that Abraham began a relationship with the divine which was outside of the realm of the effect of astrology and the heavenly bodies, that we essentially have a higher degree of free will, so that although this theory seems to concede that the heavenly bodies do have some influence, we are essentially immune from it because we have such a high degree of free will. Now, as is often the case, the Talmud explores the issue from many different perspectives and leaves us with many different possible interpretations of the issue. Hence, our sages down through the generations disagree, as I mentioned before. And the B'nai Yisachar comes to the conclusion that although the principle stands, Ein Mazal Yisrael, that there's no constellation that absolutely governs our actions because we have such a high degree of free will, nonetheless, he says, when it comes to the time that a person is born and the effect of the heavenly bodies on that person, that is real, he says. And he goes on to say, in fact, although the principle says Ein Mazal Yisrael, that the Jewish people do not have a constellation, he actually says the Jewish people do have a constellation, and it just so happens to be the constellation of this very month, of Aquarius. Now, we know in Western astrology, based on other ancient traditions, that Aquarius is the water bearer, and it's called in Hebrew astrology and Jewish astrology the Dili, the bucket, so also the one who is carrying the water. And so this is where the B'nai Yisachar is going to lead us into a deeper understanding of our psychological and spiritual work during this month at this time, which of course Tu B'Shvat is the climax, the apogee of, being the full moon of the month. So he says, we know from the Talmud that the Torah is compared to water. We have a teaching in the Talmud, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that in every place where water is mentioned, it in fact can be understood on some level as meaning Torah. Just like the bucket of the water drawer is drawing water, actually, we understand that this bucket can also be understood as drawing the Torah. And he says that is our job as the Jewish people, to be serving through our relationship with Torah. And through that, he says, we turn everything to good. So anything which is challenging, problematic in the world, inside ourselves or around us in any way, our job is to serve with Torah and mitzvot, he says, to turn it to good. And then he says something at the conclusion of this passage that is really challenging for us to hear and deeply take on. He says, just like the bucket is serving the water, which again we understand to be the Torah and ultimately to be serving the Creator and the world by doing so, he said, the servant that we want to aspire to be like in this month of the Dili, of the bucket of Aquarius, the servant has no will of their own, rather only the will of their master. And so he says this is actually central to our spiritual work of this month, this ability to, as it says in Perkei Avot, in Ethics of the Fathers, in the name of Rabban Gamliel, do the will of the divine as if it were our will. So essentially to take on the divine will as if it is our own. And this very challenging teaching actually relates back to the very beginning of his teachings about Shabbat, which I actually skipped over, started with the second paragraph. But there in the very opening passage, he tells us that our month has a special permutation of the divine name with four letters, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. And this is a Kabbalistic tradition going back at least to the Tikkuni Zohar, possibly even earlier, that four-letter name can be permutated in 12 different ways for the 12 calendar months, and that the order that the letters are arranged in each month depicts how the divine energy, how creation unfolds in that month in its ideal form. And so if we want to be in alignment with the divine flow, with the Shefa, and with creation and the world around us in that month, we want to understand what that peer imitation means for our own inner work and to do our best to emulate it. So for our month of Shavuot, he tells us that the permutation of the divine name is He, then Yud, and Vav, then He. So let's explain what that means, both in Kabbalistic terms and in terms of what's going on inside us. He and Yud and Vav and He. So the first letter, He, relates to the world of the spirit, Atzilut. And a He is a letter for receptivity and being a vessel. So that is the advice for our soul, for our spirit this month, to let it be receptive, let it be a vessel. Which sounds like lovely advice for any time, but as we go through the other letters, we'll understand what it means a little bit more in context. The next one, I think, especially, is really the core of our work for this month, and that is the second letter, which is in the world of thought, Bria, and that is the letter Yud. And the Yud is the smallest letter we have in the alphabet, and it denotes humility and simsum, contraction, making ourselves small. So having a Yud in the world of thought, in that second position in the name, specifically is telling us that if we want to be aligned with the flow of life in this month, we actually want to try and let our thoughts be relatively small energetically, that we want to try and not get carried away, giving our thoughts loads of energy, putting lots of time and effort into thinking about things. Rather, we want to try and actually work on being able to be more in control of our thoughts so that our other faculties can shine through more. And then the last two letters are actually in their natural or ideal place in the divine name, Vav and He, just like in the name Yud and He and Vav and He. So Vav is in the world of emotion, Yetzirah, which relates to Vav's natural meaning of connection. Vav also means a hook, so that which connects healthily inside us and around us to people and everything around us. So if we do the work of having the He and the Yud, the He being the receptive spirit and the Yud being the thoughts which are under control and not getting too carried away, then our Vav will be in the right place and we'll be able to connect healthily around us through our emotions. And then the He in the last place, the world of Asiyah, of action, denotes that we'll be able to manifest healthily in the world of action. So this may strike you as a very esoteric teaching concerning the letters of God's name being in a certain order and the different spiritual worlds and so on. So let's bring it right down to earth and let's really focus on that point about getting our thoughts under control, because I think for many of us that will be the biggest challenge of this month, and certainly relates to the B'nai Sichar's teaching also of letting ourselves be a servant, of annulling our will to the will of the Creator. So many of us are used to relating to our thoughts as things that happen to us. Now I'm thinking about this, now I'm thinking about that, now I'm relatively calm in my mind, oh, now I can't stop thinking about such and such a thing. If you've ever tried meditation, then you'll know that by trying to meditate, that is essentially just trying to focus on one thing, that just that attempt, just trying to focus on something, already gives us a tremendous amount of insight as to what's actually going on inside our mind. That it actually tells us a lot about what thoughts are coming up and how much they're coming up and how much we're able to control them in that moment. And of course, we're in a different state of mind and feeling all the time, and it may be very easy sometimes to meditate, very challenging at other times. That's normal for everyone. So I'd like to close with the suggestion that we just try. That we just try and notice what's going on with our thoughts, and possibly we even try and set aside a specific time for a few minutes to focus on one thing and really begin to bring a little bit more calmness and control to our thoughts, because that is what the B'nai Sichar is telling us is central to the spiritual work of our month. We are at this crucial point in the calendar where really we're preparing for Nisan. We'll talk more about that later on in the series too. But we're not there yet. We're not yet at the full flourishing of spring. And what's really, really important now is our ability to set an intention, to focus clearly, and to let our thoughts be really powerful. And of course, if our thoughts are just running all over the place without any control or clarity, then we cannot harness their power consciously. We are really at their mercy. We are really the servants of our thoughts. So instead of being the servants of our thoughts, let's try and be the servants of our highest values, of the things we most want to serve, of turning bad into good, as he says, and let ourselves emulate the water drawer, the one who uses Torah to turn bad into good, And let that be the beginning of our preparation for this beautiful season. Thank you for listening. And next time we'll continue by discussing the date of Tu B'Shvat and how that relates to our spiritual work for this special time.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.